All right, let's get into the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in chapters 11 and 12 today. You're in this journey throughout the summer in the book of Proverbs. I think it's an awesome journey to be taking at any time, but especially through the summer, just, you know, because a lot of times we need more wisdom in the summer, you know. Do I put, you know, 30 sunscreen on, or do I put 50, or do I need to stay out of the sun, or do, you know, those types of things. So anyway, do I need to get a Mingo or not get a Mingo? I saw the Mingo Cup tournament the other day online. How many of you saw the Mingo Cup, you know, hockey? I think, what was it called? Was it a little hockey game going on? And that's what your staff does. So anyway. No, what's great is to see the relationship that they have. That's so awesome. So anyway, the book of Proverbs, it is one of the books that I read every day. I read a proverb every day. There's 31 proverbs. So if today is the 9th of June, then I have read Proverbs 9. Okay, just read a proverb every day. Why? Because there's so much wisdom within all of Scripture, but there's just so much that is focused in the book of Proverbs on living our practical lives. Not just this theoretical, this uber spiritual, but just the wisdom to live practical lives. Because we all get challenged with things throughout our life. Day in and day out, we are challenged with so many things. It's like I say it this way: our life is filled with the potentials of peaks and pits, all right? And this is really what Solomon, by the wisdom of God through Solomon, is conveying to us: is how are we going to live our lives? You know, Solomon was a man. Even though, you know, we're told that Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived, and we can maybe debate that in a little bit, but. He was no doubt a man of wisdom, but he was a man just like you and I, a humanity that had struggles, that had challenges, that had victories, that had losses and defeats. You know, it was said of Solomon that he wrote the Song of Solomon when he was a young man in his 20s. It said that he wrote Proverbs when he was middle-aged, and he wrote Ecclesiastes when he was an old man. Why is that? Well, as a young man, we have these passions and these drives in us. And by middle age, we're getting there. We're gleaning some things. And we're kind of starting to level out, and we're learning from life, you know, some things to do and some things not to do. But the challenge with Solomon was that he forgot his own words of wisdom. And so really what the book of Ecclesiastes is, in summation, is a life lived without God, without an influence of God in it. Because if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, God is never mentioned once, or an inference to God once. It's about the lament of this man who realized his life was separated from God, and now he's living this life and the outcomes and the fruit of this, and the frustration and the fears of living our lives without the influence of God in our life. I don't know about you. There was a time in my life where I lived without the influence of God, but we're here today, and I don't know where you're all at in your journey. Maybe it's a brand new journey. Maybe it's not even a journey that's really this journey of following Christ hasn't even started yet. Or maybe for some of you, it's been, you know, decades you've been walking with the Lord. But the challenge is every day we get confronted with how are we going to live our lives. What are we going to choose? And especially in today, when there's so many influences in our culture, there's so many talking heads out there to say, this is the way you need to live. This is the way you need to believe. This is what you need to choose. Okay? What is it that is going to be the base for your life? What is it that's going to be the major influence of your life that's going to help you live your life? Because this is really what the book of Proverbs is about. It's about how to live our lives successful in the way that God wants us to live successfully. Here's what I found is in our culture, We most generally define success by what we have acquired. And so I've learned that success will either be determined by what you acquire or about what you aspire, meaning what? Is what you have or who you are? Now, the tragedy is this, that if all you are putting your identity or your success is determined by what you have, what happens when you lose it? You lose who you are. And that is what we are seeing too much of in our culture today, is people have lost who they are because they have lost what they put their identity into as successful. A wise man told me many years ago, he says, achieve to reach these certain goals, not for the goal, but for what it makes you on the journey to that goal. He said, what you become is far richer than the thing that you're going to achieve. And I found that to be so true. And it's a wisdom that I've lived by. And it's a principle of wisdom from the book of Proverbs, is that we are to pursue who to become. Who are you? What have you become? Have you become a person of peace, of contentment, a person of passion, a person of love? Or have you become this thing that's just full of the fright and turmoil and chaos and confusion? I was talking with someone between the services, and I said, you know, one of the biggest challenges in our culture today, one of the great detriments in our culture today is that we have become a culture of indifference. We really don't care about things. And a part of that is being driven by this self-centeredness. And so we become indifferent. We become indifferent of the plight of those in other countries. We become indifferent of the plight of those that live down the street for us, or what's happening in other people's lives. We've just come indifferent. And the challenge with that is sometimes, a lot of times, we become indifferent to God. We're just indifferent to God. Does it really matter whether he has a major influence in our life? Is the Spirit of God speaking to life, or are we just indifferent to, I'm just going to go on and operate from my own resources that I have, which I found is very limited, very narrow and limited? Or are we going to access the riches, the treasuries that we have within the pages of this book? That according to 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 says this, all scripture is inspired by God. Every word in this book was inspired by God. It was written by men, but it was inspired by God. And it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It's back to that accountability. You know, because I found that this gray matter right up here, it just about convinced me of anything and justify just about anything. It can just about justify every attitude that I have. Well, they did this, and so that, that gives me credence to think about them or say things about them this way. And you're right, Mike, you're right. And the whole time it's contrary to what the scripture is saying, is to be quick to forgive, be long-suffering, to love like God loves. I used this last service, and I was walking out of Walmart, and I'm sorry, I'm not making fun of anybody that works at Walmart or anything when I'm saying this, okay? So forgive me right up front. But I'm walking out of Walmart one day, one of our local Walmarts, and it was an interesting time there. And so I'm walking out through the parking lot. This is broad daylight. walking out through the parking lot of Walmart, talking to myself out loud. Which is normal at Walmart. No. So I'm walking through the parking lot and I'm saying this, God, every moron in St. Charles County is in that Walmart today. I'm convinced that God, every moron in St. Charles County is in that Walmart today. And I took about 3 steps, and all of a sudden, I heard what I felt really was the Spirit of God speak to me. And he said, you used to be a moron. Yeah, now you clap. But it's true. I mean, we can justify ourselves and our pursuits and the perceptions of the way that we see other people. And that's really what Proverbs 11:1 is saying. Listen to that. I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Translation. And guys, I'm sorry, I'm bouncing all over the place. You just have to try to keep up with me, okay? It says this, It's from the Hebrew. Proverbs 11:1 from the Passion says this, to set high standards for someone else and then not live upon them by them yourself is something that God truly hates. And so I set this high standard for these people in there, but yet the Lord's saying, you've kind of lived that same standard yourself. Or you've not lived up to that same standard yourself. But yet you want to set this standard for other people. God says, I don't like that. That's not the way I view people. God says, you need to see people how I see people. Because he said, you look at the actions of people. You look at either the way they dress, the way they look, the way they act. He said, but I don't look at people that way. I look at people through the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. I look at them through the sacrifice that I made for them. Because you know what? The Lord shows us way back in the beginning, Genesis 1, he said, people were created in my image and my likeness. And that's how I see them. They were created in my image and I see people. My creation, my good creation. Through that lens, and you don't. You look at them through all these other means of, you know, whether they have tattoos or whether they have long hair and dreadlocks. That's how you're looking at people. That's a perception that you're buying into. You don't know them. You really don't know them. You're just seeing things, a form, a fashion. That you preconceived, that you have look through the lenses of your bias. And what the book of Proverbs is showing us is that's an imbalance. That's a travesty in our lives. God doesn't like that. And so as we walk out and as we journey, we need to realize that the key to this is coming back to is, again, I've said before, is what are we going to let to set the precedence for the influence of how we're going to live our lives and what is going to be set the mindset of our lives, the way we think. One of the definitions that I give for wisdom is this, is knowledge that possesses a transformational quality. Wisdom is a knowledge that possesses a transformational quality, that can move you to a more spiritually fruitful life, or a quality that makes you think differently. And if we think differently, we'll act differently. So, I don't know what it's been now, maybe a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago or whatever. My car was acting up and it wouldn't run right. Okay? I have a 2000 Lexus with 280,000 miles on it. My goal is to get to 300,000. That's my goal. So my car's name is, every car in our family has a name. How many have names for your cars? We're not the only weird ones. So my car is Lloyd the Lexus. So Lloyd was acting up. He wasn't running right, and it wouldn't shift. And I'm thinking, oh, great, the transmission's going out of it and all this stuff. And so, I you know, talk about wisdom. I did what every wise person was doing. I went to YouTube. And I started YouTubing, you know. I got on a Lexus forum, and I found out that it wasn't the transmission. It was the computer, because there was a bad ignition coil, and it's telling the computer not to let the car shift so it doesn't damage the engine. So what I did is I went in. I'm like, oh, great, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to have to take it somewhere. It's going to cost me a ton of money, and really don't want to spend all that kind of money on Lloyd, but it's not that, you know, he's not worth it. He's been faithful. He's been a champ. And every time we get in, my wife pats the dash and she goes, Lloyd, you are a good guy, man. You are so good. She talks to Lloyd, and I'm convinced he's hanging around because he loves my wife. Tolerates me, but he loves my wife. So anyway, what I did was, I start educating myself on how to change out the ignition coils on this car. And so I did that. I won't go into the whole thing, but I did that. And what happened was, I think, in hindsight, I think it really was something special. I think it was the Spirit of God that led me to do this, because what I learned from that wasn't the valuable thing I learned from that. Wasn't so much about how now to change out the ignition coils in my car, but it was the truth, the wisdom that God gave me. Because the Lord said many times, the reason you won't do things, you have the knowledge, but he said you don't have the confidence, you have the ability. And he said, what you've just learned is that you have the confidence. Once you gain knowledge, you got to take that. And if you have the confidence to take that knowledge and engage it and do something with it, he says that's where you gain wisdom. And he said, didn't I say in my word that I can, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? And man, I strutted around for a couple of days like I was Mike the mechanic. Just strutted around. But you know what it did for me? It added so much more. Now I have wisdom. I can sit down and I can talk to you about, you know, how to change out Bank One, you know, ignition coils on a 2000 Lexus that's not easy to get to. And I learned some things. I got some wisdom from that. Okay? So, just recently I have a power washer. I'm going somewhere with this. It's just not all about, you know, this sounds like, you know, Mike the mechanic. Yeah. So I had a power washer and it wasn't working. And so I found out the carburetor's bad. So I just changed the carburetor on my power washer that I thought I was just going to have to junk and get an $18 carburetor. Put that carburetor on, redid everything. First pull, my friends, first pull. Boom, that baby fires up. First pull, Mike the mechanic showed up again. See, what am I saying? These are the same things that Solomon is trying to convey to us through the book of wisdom, through the book of Proverbs. As if you're willing to take those things and engage them in your life, it's profound, it's unlimited. The things that you will, the confidence that you will grow in. And not the confidence, there is a confidence in yourself, but the confidence is in that God, you are faithful. It really does work. Your word really does work in my life when I apply my life to it. These are not just theories. Because you see, this book right here wasn't given to us for information. It was given to us for transformation. Don't read this book, whether it's like here or on your device, don't read it for information. Let it transform you. I say it this way. Let the Bible read you instead of you reading the Bible. Because it will read you. I find so many times I sit down every day and there's something There's something that I come across that begins to read me, that begins to convey to me, begins to reveal to me, begins to encourage and correct me, begins to inspire me. Every day. And how are we going to live our lives? Because that's really what Solomon has learned, what he learned, and what God, through God's wisdom that he gave Solomon, because it really was God's wisdom, not just Solomon's wisdom. And like I said, Solomon was a man just like we are. And so he was a man of wisdom, but it was God's wisdom. And so what that tells me is that I can have God's wisdom. You can have God's wisdom for your life, to live your life. No matter what circumstance it is, and no matter what situation it is, you can have the wisdom of God living, alive, there every moment of the day. Every circumstance, every situation. It's just, what are you going to default to? What are you going to rely on? Where are you going to go to? Here's a question that's been dogging me for some time now, probably a year, year and a half. This question just won't let me go. And here's the question. What if what we don't know is more powerful than what we do know? Let that sink in a little bit. What if what we don't know is more powerful than what we do know? What's your response to that? Mine is, if there's a potential that what I don't know is more powerful, I'm going to go find it. I'm going to go look for it. I'm going to make some sacrifices for it. What are you willing to make a sacrifice for, to have wisdom in your life? You know, even James, when James says, if any of you, and James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who's generous with his wisdom, and he won't withhold it. But he puts a condition to it. He said, but let him ask in what? Faith. You've got to believe. You got to believe that God will give you. God does have wisdom for your life. That God will give you wisdom for your life. And that you are going to receive the wisdom of God for your life. That's why I pray that every day. Every day. That's a prayer I have prayed almost every day since I accepted Christ in my life. And especially since when I started pastoring over 30 years ago. I said, God, I need your wisdom because I don't know what I'm doing. Many times I don't know what I'm doing. I think one of the most dangerous places that we can be in is when we think we've got everything figured out and we know how to do everything. I'm 65 years old. And one of the greatest revelations that I've had is I don't know everything. My wife and I married, it'll be coming up on 8 years, 8 years ago. And at the end of that first year of marriage, I asked her, because I'd been married for 33 years. My previous wife passed away, and I'd been married 33 years. And I really, you know, people told me, she told me I had a great husband, all this stuff, you know. So I thought I'd get this husband thing down. So Casey and I had been married for a year, our anniversary was rolling around, something like that. And so I went to her and I said, you know, okay, honey, I said, what do you think about marriage? What do you think about this? She goes, I'm not happy. I'm not happy at all. I mean, talk about taking the wind out of your sail. I was like, I was devastated. I was like, you married the world's greatest husband. Do you not understand this? And what she said was, is you're still trying to be the husband you were to somebody else, and you're not focused on being a husband that I need you to be for me. And when she said it, I knew she was right. And so I spent the next year really working hard on retooling me. Because, see, so many times we go through life, we don't realize there's times and seasons in our life where we need to retool from the wisdom of God. And so I worked very hard on becoming the husband that she needed to be to me. And through that journey, one of the things I learned to do is periodically I would ask her, I would say, honey, am I loving you how you need to be loved? Because I didn't want to love her the way that I just thought she needed to be loved. I wanted to love her the way she needed to be loved. You know, one day when I had asked her that, I'd walked away. And she said, oh, of course, you're a great husband. You know, I'm joking, all right? But it's amazing now, okay? But one of the times that I'm not trying to convince you of that, by the way. But one of the times I'd asked her that, I was walking away and I felt like the Spirit of God spoke to me. And the Lord says, why don't you ever ask me that? And so now I periodically, I'll ask God, God, am I loving you the way you want to be loved from me? What is that? That's wisdom. That was knowledge that had a transformational quality to it that radically changed my life. Because you know what? I don't want to go through this life calling myself a Christian and not loving the one who gave his life for me, who made the ultimate sacrifice. And not loving him like he wants to be loved for me. See, these are the things that are conveyed throughout the book of Proverbs. I know for the sake of time, we couldn't get in and just dissect it. I would love to, in a setting, to just to love to dissect the Word of God, page scripture by scripture, page by page, but we don't have that time. And so I'll ask you again, what if what we don't know is more powerful than what we do know? Think about it. Think about that. When you walk away from here today, don't let that just be information. Let it be something that transforms you. See, Solomon was a man like we are. I'm gonna close with this. That was challenged with something that's a fancy phrase for it is called cognitive dissonance. And there's a definition for it. And it says this. Cognitive dissonance is the psychological stress experienced by a person who holds two or more contradictory beliefs, ideas, or values. And what that does, if we allow our lives to live in a consistent cognitive dissonance, it really diminishes, obvious, the quality of life. We're caught between, and like I said, sometimes we have these peaks and sometimes we have these pits. But the thing about it is don't let your life, don't be satisfied with living in the pit. Don't be satisfied with living your life. Because the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, Paul said this. Let me read it to you. Because Paul had to deal with this too. He said this, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do, I do. And he finds it, he says that the thing I want to do is, I don't do it, and but what I don't want to do, I'm always doing. And it's cognitive dissonance. How do we change it? What do we do? Well, we got to have something that is more of an influence and an impact on our lives to get us to change those things, those patterns in our lives. And sometimes it's not taking a leap. Sometimes it's just taking a step. I was telling Kevin this. There was a guy that I listened to years ago, a motivational guy, and he really influenced my life. And he said this. He says, if you really want to change your life in some way, to move, to remove a cognitive dissonance, you know, gap within your life, he says, you start with a small thing. He says, so you want to be healthier. He says, you know, a lot of people, they try to go to the gym 6 days a week, and they try to take that big leap and all this. And he says this. My wife started laughing because there's a joke behind that. I've been to the gym 4 times. That's because they have a recycle container there. And I go there and drop off my stuff at the recycle container. So I always tell her, I went to the gym today. He said this, if you want to become healthy, he goes, you know, do all the... He said, start by eating an apple. And he said, what happens is you're eating an apple, you start to feel a little bit better about yourself, and then you find yourself, you go for a walk. You eat your apple, then you go for a walk. And then you're taking a walk, and your head's clearing and everything, and you start viewing life differently, and then you start taking another step to change some things. See, this is what we find throughout the book of Proverbs, that when we read, especially if we're reading Proverbs day by day, what they're helping us just to take a step to change our life to where we can live more consistently on a peak than we do in a pit. And here's the other key. And it's a scripture from, why don't you stand with me? No, stay seated. Stay seated. You know what that means, don't you? Yeah, we got about another 30 minutes. No, I want you to stay seated because we're going to do something. It's having the Word of God, but we can never forget the importance of the influence of the Spirit of God in our life. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says this, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. The Spirit of God wants to reveal the wisdom of the heart of God to us in every aspect of our lives. So many times we just don't take the time to slow down enough, to quiet ourselves enough, just to let the Spirit of God speak something simple but profound. Radically profound. Life-changing profound. But yet so simple. So we're going to do, the worship team's good, we're going to do this song, and I just want you to sit there. I want you to sing along. I don't even want you to look at the words. I want you to close your eyes and just let this worship minister to your soul.
Really quick before we sing this song, I just want to highlight something that Mike said about letting the Word of God inspire you, not trying to figure it out. I just found out through a Facebook post that my fourth friend is no longer believes in God. All four of those friends have a ministry degree. Two of them have their master's in divinity. These people know more about the Bible than you and I ever will, and now they're atheists because they couldn't figure it out, or they felt like they did figure it out and it wasn't real. And that just, like, it's so simple. We just need to let God inspire our hearts. So if that's you, if maybe you're on the fence, like, these scriptures just don't line up, or I can't master the Bible, just stop. And I pray that this moment you would just let God challenge God, like, you show up to me. Not, I don't need to know it all. I don't need to make history make sense. I don't need to understand it in all three languages. Just let God inspire your heart and convince your soul this morning that he's here and that he wants, that he's real. So I just, if there's someone struggling with that this morning, just stop trying to figure it out. Let's just let the Spirit lead us.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. Ocean.